Welcome to the Order of Time. Today I would like to talk to you about meditation. Meditation is something important in the process of emancipation. In the process of becoming a person, of developing your independence and mature adulthood, we at a certain point have to express ourselves and talk, proclaim what is relevant, defend our positions. This is important to our emancipation. But directly following this proclaiming of our position is the meditation. Directly thereafter, we have to learn to stop. To stop this thinking for others, and also the thinking for yourself. If I talk, I talk from myself to you. But if I keep my mouth shut, this talking doesn't really end, because there's this process we call thinking, in which this communication continues. And we can only live if we are in control with ourselves. If we are in control with this thought process, and to end this thought process is what we call meditation, simply to stop this mind ruminating about whether one is understood or not, or whatever. The necessity of meditation, one can compare to driving a car, to have a driver's license. If you want to drive a car, you need to control the steering wheel, the clutch, the gas handle, and the brakes. Only if you do this correctly, you will get a driver's license. Otherwise, you are a danger in the streets. You are not permitted to drive a car. So in life, it is more or less the same. When we are educated in school, we also learn to listen, to sing songs, and to remember what the teacher says. We learn to read and write and to study. We learn to concentrate ourselves according a certain subject, according a certain theme. And then we learn to express ourselves too. After that, in our education, we arrive at the necessity to integrate, to stop this process of communication. It is just as important as the communication. The stopping and the engaging is the control that we need to have a good life, to be an adult in control with himself. So meditation is essential in life. You have to engage in thinking, you have to stop it. If you can't stop it, you cannot really think correctly. You'll be a nagging, a nuisance to others, because why are you talking? Just because you can't stop. Some people continually talk and talk, and they don't know where to stop. So that is a kind of dependence which we have to curb in our emancipation. And this curbing of this restless mind, always desiring, always wanting something, is what we do in meditation. So meditation is important to arrive at the capacity of what we actually call this communication within. in which we engage in thought or stop it. In both cases, we are engaged within, in control. And have we reached a certain independence, which we could call enlightenment or liberation, depending the way we look at it. We say we are enlightened if we manage ourselves properly according to the principle, and we say we are liberated if we manage ourselves correctly to the person. So meditation, although it's something difficult to talk about, because in fact you have to end the talking to know what meditation is. Meditation is something which happens according a plan, like getting that driver's license, like becoming a self-realized person. This meditation is, in philokonosy, if we love the knowledge, is bound to a certain order of time, and to the discipline of philokonosy itself. In philokonosy, we discriminate 12 different types of logic, of which there are 7 directed at thought, concrete engaging in thought, thinking from one point to another. And there are 5 different types of meditative thought, thinking, which put an end to the thought process. So we think and we do not think, and it is both thinking, but with different purposes. The 7 ways of thinking are associated with the 7 visions we discussed in philokonosy. That is to think in from the facts, to think from the facts with a certain purpose. You want to engage with the facts. You can engage also with a certain concept of order. This is what we call science. It's done in paradigm. We can think with a certain sense of discrimination between matter and spirit, with the purpose of creating a work of art or helping people. This is the analytic view. We have a certain purpose of dealing with principles to transcend the material world in the spiritual sense. We have a certain way of thinking in favor for the religion, to respect a person, the active engagement to do so, to respect others and also be respected ourselves. And there's a 6th form of thinking we call politics, which is the conscious effort to be righteous, dividing the riches, and to be reasonable about what labor would be. So these are 6 forms of thinking connected to a certain evolutionary concept of a societal development and equity, with all these different visions, which we call the emancipatory notion. So we have these 6 plus this 7th form of thinking. But we speak of 12 forms of thinking, because there's also 5 forms of thinking which represent the meditative position, which I want to discuss today. So thinking is clear. It is determined by some desire from a certain position you take in life to achieve a certain goal. In meditation, this is no longer so. In meditation, we try to put an end to this thinking process, just to be in control with ourselves. And otherwise, we are victimized by our own dependence on a certain way of thinking. And then we have no driver's license, and then we are not really mature individuals in life. So how to stop this thinking? And the answer is quite simple. Meditation is, for a great part, accepting things as they are. In Christianity, we know the term Amen, which means so be it. And in fact, is that what a meditative person says? Amen. I accept this. I accept the facts of life. I accept that there is the material world. I don't fight it. I don't want anything else with it. I accept it that it is there, at least for the moment, at least for now, for the period of time they meditate. So this is possible, to die away from a certain ego and to arrive at a certain witnessing, and to find absorption in that position, in just seeing the reality as it is. This is the first meditation. You see the reality as it is. I see a microphone I speak to. I see a computer registering what I say, recording what I say. I see nature around me. I see a living room, a study where I sit. And if I meditate, I just see this. I do not want anything else. I find peace with it. Even though I know that I can change my apartment, I can have another program in my computer, I have a virus in my computer, everything is not perfectly in order, but okay, I see it as it is. I meditate on that. So this is the first meditation. Just accepting the factual reality. The second meditation is the meditation on the principles. You can meditate the principle. The principle is not as much a fact. You cannot really look at a principle, but it's still determining the way you deal with yourself. It is decisive whether you succeed or not in meditation, whether you follow certain principles. These principles, like non-violence, for instance, or truthfulness, these principles are formative. They determine the kind of meditation that you do, or whether you meditate at all. With a violent nature, there's a more or less constantly a struggle going on between you and that what you want to destroy. If you want to kill animals, for instance, for your food, you are not non-violent. And if you have this violence in your heart, this split in your heart between you and that other living being, which is just like you, interested in survival, then you have created a conflict in yourself. And this conflict makes it difficult to meditate. You can meditate on a filled stomach and call that satisfaction your meditation. But your mind is then motivated for that specific satisfaction, which contains, which entails this conflict. So non-violence, for instance, is a basic principle you need to accept if you want to see yourself from the principle. So this is the second meditation. You meditate on that self which you call a soul, when it is of principles. And this witness is not just an empty something. It is a fulfillment of peace with the world. Otherwise, we have no meditation at all. We cannot let go, we cannot say goodbye, because there's a conflict going on. We didn't really do our duty relative to that soul, relative to that necessary peace to be in control with ourselves. So this is the second meditation, meditating on principles, on non-violence, on the order of time. For instance, we can also meditate on the principle of truth. Do we see the time as it is of culture, as it is of nature? Do we see the difference between it? Do we know what we do with it? You can meditate this. What is truth? What would be true and what would be false? What would be eternal and lasting and nourishing, feeding, sustaining this meditation? And what would be disturbing? What would be illusory? Then it is there and then it is not there, like, for instance, summertime. So the order of time, we also meditate, if we meditate in the second way, to the principles. There's a third way of meditation too, apart from simply watching the facts, breathing or walking, which the Buddhists call vipassana, apart from the principles, which we call a soul of integrity, to that witness in which we transcend the material reality. There's a third meditation too, and that is the meditation on the integrity of this matter and principle together. The first and the two taken together give a third meditation, which we call the meditation on the person. In the meditation of the person, we associate with the integrity of what we are ourselves to find peace. So you meditate on a holy person like the Buddha or Jesus or Krishna, and this integrity is the repository of all good qualities, is the representative of the happiness that we are looking for the integrity that we try to find in our meditation, in which we find peace and order and heaven, in one word. So this person is preferably someone holy, or representing principles that are hard and fast, which cannot be changed. This is fundamental. This is the absolute truth. This is all associated with the person, depending on the person you meditate. So you can have great examples of history like Krishna and Jesus and Buddha, but you can also meditate on your lover or your friend or your father or your mother, who also are very important. And maybe some people say maybe they are even more important than Jesus and Buddha, because they are really there. They are really there as integrities, who maybe represent a part of Christ, but who are the concrete manifestation of the person. So that's the real person you also consider in your mind to find peace with yourself. This is the third meditation. Then there's a fourth and a fifth meditation, which is the meditation specifically of time, in the sense of the past. You can meditate the past. What did I do in the past? And have I peace with it? It's an important meditation to be in touch with your past, not to repress. If you meditate, you may discover that it is for you difficult to think of the past because of certain experiences you had. You were traumatized, you had a fight, you were disappointed, you were rejected, you were insulted, you were abused, or you did that yourself. So these are difficult things to accept that of others and to accept that of yourself. And we have this mind of emancipation, in which we go from the past into the future, trying to be more adult people. But that is not really the meditation. The meditation is either acceptance of the past or acceptance of the future. You can say, okay, the past is gone, let bygones be bygones. It's gone. It's not really there anymore. What is of relevance is what's ahead of me. What am I working for? What is my future? When you die, for instance, it's not unwise to think, well, will I go to heaven or will I go to hell or would there be nothing? That is relevant. If you think of animals when you die, yeah, you run the risk of being reborn among animals because that's where your spirit went. So it is important what you think of for the future. But it's choice. You have to choose in that meditation for an object in the future. So you think of an ideal society or you think of hell. And the meditation consists of it that you do not directly do anything about it. You just look into the future and you see, try to see how that is, just like a Nostradamus, like it would be a fixed reality, not a quantum mechanical thing, depending on every turn we take. No, like something that is there already, and you try to look at it, and that is a meditation. It is not directly an argument. Because you do not really follow a desire, you just try to see what it is. It is a kind of meditation. So these are the five forms of meditation we have in Vilokanasi. This meditation of the principle, the fact, the person, the past, and the future. These five set against the seven of following a certain logic with the vision and the discipline one may have in Vilokanasi. So this is what I wanted to discuss today. The difference between engaging in thought and putting that thought to an end, accepting things as they are, accepting the person, the principle, the fact, the past, or the future as it is. And this is what I wanted to talk about today. Meditation. I thank you for your attention.